Okay. We're in the middle of Samet Vav Amud Aleph. We were just the last couple lines of the sugya. For those of listening on the, for those of you listening in the archives, now that we're recording the shir, to explain, the shir ends with Maariv. Maariv starts at 8:30, so sometimes the shir gets cut off at 9:30. I mean, sometimes the shir gets cut off mid-sentence, which is why there's sometimes an abrupt end instead of, you know, just sitting and keeping the learning going. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, this long Mishnah at the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, has this thing about a konam atzal shani toem. Somebody makes a neder against eating an onion, let's say, or drinking wine, because they are unhealthy for you. Wine, because everybody knows it's bad for the digestion, and onions, because it's bad for the heart. And then the Gemara says, oh, but what about this type of wine or that type of onion, which is dafka good for you. So the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, v'huter, that in both cases, it was mutar for him to eat, because why? No. Because no, it's not even a petach. Because it's a ned, because it's a nether toad. Right? And it can't be that it's also for him to eat this onion or drink that wine, because he specified in his neder that it's bad for you, it's bad for your health. But we know, forget the fact that, you know, like medicine changes, but we know that this wine and this onion are not bad for you, adrabba, they are good for you. Ela bechola betzalim maseh haya. So in other words, and once, this goes back to the larger discussion of the Mishnah, once we let him off the hook for this type of onion and that type of wine, the whole neder falls down. Right, it's like, what was that game we said talking about last week, where you pull the thing off from the bottom? Jenga. Right, you pull the thing down. Once you can knock off one element of the neder, the whole neder falls, unless it was the type of neder that was like compartmentalized. Right, if you say I make a neder against Reuven, and I make a neder against Shimon, and I make a neder against Levi, so those are compartmentalized. But if you just take a neder against all Salim because onions are bad for you, so if it turns out that that's a mistake, that this type of onion which tafka is good for you, so then the whole neder falls.
To understand the logic behind it. So,
you pass me those tissues. Yeah.
Not going to eat onions because they're bad for you. It turns out that he didn't know whatever. It turns out that there's one particular type of onion that is good for you.
Right.
So, logically, I would say that, okay, so that onion, who's good for you, is not part of the nether. It's the same as said, because they're bad for you.
So this is what the topic of this Mishnah is, neder shehutra, shehutar michlalo, or miktsato, hutar kulo. Right. In other words, there's something flawed in the ned there.
Does he need that Torah, or is it still automatically?
So in other words, apparently it doesn't even need like a regular hatarat nedarim, because it's a type of neder tot, because it's not a type of neder tot. Something that really needs hatarat nedarim is a proper neder, and you're bound by it until you get the hatara. In order to get the hatara, you need to have the petach, you need to have the opening that allows the hatara. Here it's a neder tot. It's like, I remember when I was a kid, there was some referendum in my mom was like a big shot in the teachers union in the town where we lived, and now, from time to time, they used to have these petitions. They have to like get a certain number, maybe to get somebody on the ballot or something. I don't remember what it was. But so there'd be a page. So they'd send us around with these clipboards door to door, getting people to sign the petitions. And the petition was a page, and it had room for 20 signatures. You had to write like whatever it was, your signature, your social security number, and the address. Your name, your social security number, your address, and your signature. Mashukaze. But you had to be very careful that they filled it out properly. Because if somebody filled out something improperly, like if they wrote their name where the address is supposed to be or vice versa, so then it didn't count in terms of however many signatures you had to get in order to get the issue on the ballot. And not only did it invalidate that name, it invalidated all of the signatures on that sheet, on that form with the 20 signatures. One psul invalidated the whole sheet. The other sheets in the pile were okay. Right? So this idea that if in the neder there's one element which is pusul, which is invalid for whatever technical reason, so the whole neder lavdil.
That was just stupid bureaucracy.
No, in other words, the reason for it, correct, it was stupid bureaucracy, and it was probably a rule that was instituted by some borough official or by the borough council who was not interested in having petitions sent up. So they made it very difficult for people to petition. But the idea is the same, that one bad element ruins the whole neder. We look at the neder as a cohesive unit. So the Gemara, yeah.
So I mean, when you're saying in English, you're saying that he's not drinking wine because wine is bad for him.
He takes in, I make a neder that I won't drink wine because wine is bad for digestion.
But the language in the Gemara is using the language of, he's saying that he's not drinking wine, she hayayin ra. This brings back to the fact that in the last Mishnah, on Samachei Amid Aleph, it says that he's not, let's say, marrying this woman, she aviha is a bad person.
Right.
It's the same language. Over there, the question was the fact that that language, does it, is it making the, is it a condition on the nether, or is it just an extra piece?
An explanation.
Okay.
No, in other words, whether
so
it's...
So same thing here.
No, so, that, so the Gemara says that, in other words...
Over there is a machlokas.
Over there was a machlokas, because the question is the... Is it, in other words, is it that her father was already dead or had already done shuva when he made this neder, in which case it was a neder ta'ut? Or what happens when the father subsequently dies or does shuva, and then is it a case of nola?
But no, the question, I mean, as far as I understood it, the question was, how do you interpret the language? In other words, is it a condition on the nether itself? In other words, the fact that the condition doesn't happen anymore makes it that the nether wasn't a nether. That's the way I was understanding it.
Right. So, but here it's not a condition.
But it uses the same language.
Well, it's true that the participle she is the same, but and it's here he's making a it's not making a condition. He's stating a fact, right? In other words, wine is bad for you. That is a fact. It is accepted by all medical opinions in the world in which we live. However, what? There's a type of wine which is not bad for you. And since a type of wine doesn't fit into the category, the whole neder is deemed flawed. The case of She Avi Hara, that her father is a wicked person, is a condition which is conditional. Because that can change. He can no longer be her father because he's dead. He can no longer be Rab because he did tshuva. And then it becomes either a case of nolad if those things happen afterwards, or it becomes a case of neder ta'ut if, unbeknownst to the noder, he had already died or done tshuva beforehand. Right? So it's true that there's a similarity here, but I don't think the cases are identical. So the Gemara asks... Here, the two dots halfway down. V'tepakle, that's where we left off. Konam yayin shit, shani to'em. V'tepakle, de'ein ra. What do you have to say? Remember our cases. He says, I take a neder, I won't drink the wine because it's unhealthy. It's bad for you. And the Gemara says, but there's a type of wine that is good for you. So what do you need to go to such extreme? Why not just say there's a type of wine which isn't bad for you, right? There's three conditions. There's wine which is bad for you, there's wine which is good for you, and there's wine in the middle which is neither good nor bad. So what do you have to say that it's good? It should be sufficient in order for it to be a neder ta'ut. It should be sufficient to say there's a type of wine which is not bad for digestion. There's a type of onion which is not bad for your cardiac health. So v'tepek le de'ein ra, Omar Rabbi Abba, v'od yafe katani. Enochinami. If it would have been a case of the wine is merely not bad, it would have been enough to knock out the net there. But the Gemara... it could be that
you still have the same question.
The question is the same. It's just making a diuk on the case. Don't think that it you only got out of the ned there when you thought it was bad and in fact it's good. And Hanami, it would have been enough to get out of the ned there if it would have been merely neutral. And then the Gemara just repeats the same lashon. Kona batzal sheni to'em shebatzal yevetepak lei de'ein ra omer bi'aba v'od yafek katani. You see, the Rashi, or the pseudo-Rashi, V'od Yafeh Katani, or the previous Rashi, V'tepek Le De'ein Ra, should be enough just to say, it ain't bad for you. Amai Kamahader Tana De'echi De'amru Lo, V'halo Hamiyushan Yafeh L'mayim. What do you need to say that this aged wine is dafka good for the digestion? De'lo Havei Neder De'mashma Dafka Yafeh. De e lo have lo ra velo yafe lo utar vetepak le de lo have neder de enara va have le neder betot va od yafe katani va ochinami kabe isha zu lo mipne shehi ki ura vinased yafe va kharkach oshkhora vinased levana elena ev levana mi kara. So that's the Hemshech of the Gemara, which we're about to see. Potchin la'adam b'chvod atzmo v'chvod banav. Another type of petach is self-respect. We talked about respect for parents, we talked about respect for shamayim, but also self-respect. And self-respect for, or the protecting the good name and reputation of your children. Omrim lo, ilu hayita yodea, shela machar, omrim alecha, kach hi vesto shel ploni, megaresh et nashav. You take a neder, and the neder causes you to have to divorce your wife. It's a busha for you. Right? It's a busha. Today we have a different problem. We have a busha. It's a busha for people. They won't divorce their wife. That's what our friend Jeremy is busy running around doing all day. Right? You know, you have people that they have to do. They have to be busy. But that's not the case. We're not talking about aguna. Here, it's a busha to have to right? What a nar! What a fool! He made a neder, and he ended up backing himself into the corner and having to divorce his wife. Right?
But I still don't understand why he couldn't come to the Beit Din and say, when a major is neder, that's better for this woman. That's the problematic neder.
No, so in other words, that's the point. It's either he needs a taras neder, but if he stands by the neder, he's forced to, in the absence of being able to get a hataras neder.
I'm asking differently. I'm saying, why does he have to get a hataras because he would otherwise have to divorce his wife? Why couldn't he get the hataras? Because no, I didn't really mean that I... Well, we're talking about a specific case in the world. We're talking about a guy says, I'm not going to benefit from her at all. And then there's a situation where there's a marital obligation he can't fulfill.
Right, so he's an idiot.
Right, what if why couldn't he come to the basement and say, I didn't mean that. I just meant that I'm not going to use her money, I'm not going to use her...
In other words, that would be the procedure, that would be the discussion that would go on in the Beit Din. But absent a Hatarat Nadarim, he's forced into divorcing his wife because he's cornered himself. So Vesto means a habit. What did we see? It's from the Lashon of... No, in other words, veset, like a woman's menstrual cycle, it means it's something that happens to her regularly, habitually. But veset means like a habit. What did he says? He explains something here. 66. It's a Greek word. A veset, yeah. Yeah, it's Greek from ethos, a habit or a fixed custom, right? A vasat, Anybody have Chaim Cohen come to put in like a gas line in your house? In modern Hebrew, there's a word vasat. It regulates the flow of the gas, right? But it's all from the same shoresh, which goes back to Greek. So kachi vestoshel adam, vestoshel ploni, right? This is the habit of meaning this guy. It's a bad habit. It's a bad reflection on this guy that he was forced to divorce his wife. Al binotecha yehu omrim binot grushotein, and then they'll say your daughters are the daughters of divorced ladies. Now, this whole Mishnah is not so PC by modern standards, but you have to understand the world in which the Mishnah is operating, which is not so far removed from our own time, right? Yeah. And not just in the Jewish world. It was a busha to be divorced. The idea that somebody could attain high office in the United States if he'd been divorced was unthinkable. Right?
Until Reagan.
And I remember when Reagan was running for office, there was talk about it, but he's divorced.
I think when I was in high school, my high school class of 110 people, there was one person whose parents were divorced, and it was like known, and it was like...
Right? So this is not such a, we're not just talking about the ancient world even, but in the past 30 years, 35 years, so this has changed in the modern world and in the Jewish world as well. But the idea that, the shame that you'll bring upon your daughters, that they're the daughters of a grusha, marata iman shel elu lehitgaresh. This is a difficult phrasing in the Mishnah. You see the Masoros HaShas changes it, ma'ra'a be'iman. In other words, the Mishnah as we have it says, what did the wife see? What did their mother see that caused her to get divorced? The problem being, of course, that the wife can't initiate the divorce. So the Masoros HaShas changes the Lashon of the Mishnah to what was seen in the mother, meaning like what flaw was there in the mother that caused her husband to divorce her. But you understand the point being that this will be a mark, a badge of shame on the daughters when they want to get married. Look, I assume that you don't need to be from Bnei Brak or operate under like a kind of traditional shidduch realm in order to ask questions about, you know, you're going seriously with a girl or a boy. You get to know each other, so you want to know. I mean, your kids, you just made a slew of weddings. So your kids come home, they say, Shatova, I'm engaged to this girl.
Don't be about her parents.
Right? So you want to know? You want to know?
Of course.
It's not like in certain circles where, like, if there's even a hint of something in the family, you put a stop to the shidduch, but it's a natural for people to be curious about these things. On the other hand, there is a certain... A certain shidduch machala where some unreasonable standards are held out. But you understand the point in the Mishnah, right? So this would be the embassy. So you say to a guy, you know, had you known that the whole thing would be a busha to you, and it'll be a busha to your children, because your neder now forces you to get divorced, would you have made the neder? Va'amar ilu hayiti yodeya shekein lo hayiti noder hare ze mutar. And that is how he gets off the hook of this neder. Konam shani nose et plonit kura v'hari hina'a. I make a neder that I won't marry this girl, plonit, because she is ugly. But in fact, she is beautiful. Now, don't ask me. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The Mishnah is a apodictic code. What does that mean? It sets forth cases, right? And it imagines a binary world where a girl's either beautiful or ugly. But he says, I don't want to marry her because she is ugly. But the world would consider her beautiful. Shchora. I don't think we're talking racist language here. You know the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Shchora Ani V'Na'ava. I am, as the in the 60s, the Black Power movement took it. I am black but beautiful, black but comely. I imagine you're going out with a girl and you say, "Sweetie, you're really comely." That's a word that's been retired from contemporary vocabulary. But look, like in the movies, right? The bad guys wear black and the good guys wear white. The cowboys, you know, have black hats or white hats, right? So in other words, she light skin was considered more beautiful, and she had dark skin. K'tzara v'hari hi aruka. I don't want to marry her because she's too short. In fact, she's tall. Mutarba. Right? So, why? Because they're netetot. Lo mipnei she ki'ura v'na'aset na'a. Shchora v'na'aset levana. K'tzara v'na'aset aruka. Not because he made a neder, she was ugly. And she was ugly. But what? They fixed the nose. They, you know, she was from the Five Towns on your Sweet 16, you get a nose job. Skin lightening. They stretched her on the rack. Whatever it is. Right? It's not that she was and she changed, but Ella, Sha Neder Ta'ut. It's a Neder Ta'ut. He was wrong. Maseh be'echad shenadar mi'bat achoto anaya. It happened, there was a guy that took a neder against his niece. Now, Chazal were of the opinion, you know, in the Arayus, in Parashat Zachari, most of the Arayus, so like there's every combination of relatives is no good, except an uncle and his niece. Now, I mean, you may think of your own nieces and get a little oogie about the thought, because we're trained by such notions, which the social scientists will tell us are social constructs. But still. But in fact, Chazal thought it was a meritorious thing to marry your niece.
What was the relation of Avraham Avinu and Sarah?
It was his
niece.
His
Nachor was her father.
Right.
Nachor was the father of Lot and Sarah.
Yeah.
He was her niece then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Shenede ta'ut u'ma'ase be'echad shenadar makat mibat achoto anaya. So it is, so what would happen since you were there was this kind of like pressure to marry your niece. I guess the ages had to work out. In other words, like if you were 30 years older than your niece, chances are you were already married by the time she came around or came of age. But all things being equal, there was a kind of sense that if there was an eligible niece to marry, then you should do it, and you should you may have felt pressure to marry your niece.
Do you know a story from a lady who married a fairly famous Rav who, when he was elderly, his wife died and married his niece, basically someone to, or in other words, it was still practiced, I think.
Yichaliot, yeah, I'm sure it's still, you know, it's practiced of it. It's not uncommon today for first cousins to get married. Sure. And uncommon, I don't know. Right, first cousins are much more common. I mean, just it works out more that first cousins are going to come of age at the same time rather than an uncle and niece. But Nechama Leibovitz married her uncle. Nechama Leibovitz married her uncle. He was much older than her, and I think they used to say that like it was a case like this. She married him. She was already a bit older herself, but it's not true. I think that in the family, you know, there's family members live here. It's not true that it was just a marriage of convenience, because she married her uncle. So why would somebody take a neder against his niece? Because maybe he didn't want to marry your niece. Maybe she was ugly. Maybe she was nasty. Maybe she didn't want to. So don't marry her, right? Elama, there might have been like social pressure to marry her. There might have been social pressure to marry her. And in order to kind of put a monkey wrench in that pressure that was pushing him in that direction, he makes a neder. Like a neder there is a kind of instrumental way of you know, creating an iron wall. Maseh v'echad sh'nader mibat achoto anaya v'hichnisuha lebeit Rabbi Yishmoel v'yifyuha. So Rabbi Yishmoel takes her in and the whole Henry Higgins works.
What? The duckling turns into a swan.
Yeah, My Fair Lady. He turns her into something beautiful. Omar lo Rabbi Yishmoel, B'ni, Mizuna dart? This, right? Eliza Doolittle? You know, after she becomes Audrey Hepburn, right? This is the one you took a neder against? Omar lo, love? Nah, now she looks pretty good. Vehitira, Rabbi Yishmoel, Ba'otosha. They made a wedding right away. B'chor Rabbi Yishmoel v'amar benot Yisrael na'otein. All Jewish girls are pretty. Ela sheha'aniyut minavlatan. Poverty makes them appear ugly. But in other words, anybody that makes a neder against a Jewish girl that she's ugly, because she's ugly, doesn't know what he's talking about. What does this remind you of? Another famous rabbinic statement. What? Is it a white lie to say Kala Noah Chasuda? Like an image, is Kala Noah Chasuda a white lie that we're allowed to tell because it's not polite to go to a wedding and say, oh boy, I never saw such an ugly Kala?
Or is it always true about a Kala?
Or is it definitional? All Kalot are beautiful. Right? So Rabbi Yishmoel holds that all Jewish girls are pretty. But circumstances make them appear otherwise. Ukishemet Rabbi Yishmoel hayu benot Yisrael nosot kina v'omrot benot Yisrael al Rabbi Yishmoel b'chena v'chein hu omer b'shaul benot Yisrael al shaul b'chena. The Jewish girls all mourned Rabbi Yishmoel when he died because he was the
person who made them all.
Well, he was the great feminist. He saw the beauty of all Jewish girls. The Gemara asks, Maaseh Listor. Wait a second. This Gemara is, this story in the Mishnah about Rabbi Shmuel is undermining itself. How? How does the story of Rabbi Yishmoel and the ugly duckling niece contradict the earlier principle in the Mishnah?
Because she was ugly.
Because it's like Nolad. So look at the Rashi, Maaseh Listor, Dereisha Katani Im Hina'a Me'ikara Havei Neder Betot. Earlier in the Mishnah, he took a neder against the ugly girl, but he didn't know what he's talking about. How could he not know what he was talking about?
He didn't see her yet?
What?
He hadn't seen her yet.
The Shatkin shows up, Yentl shows up and says, oh, have I got a girl for you? Right? So he said, what does she look like? So the first thing Yentl says is, she has a wonderful personality. Remember when you were going on dates? The first thing they told you was about how wonderful personality, you understood something about her looks. Right? So he says, oi, a wonderful personality? I take a neder, I don't want to marry her. She must be ugly. Ella, what? She really had a wonderful personality. And also she was beautiful. Right? So he's a fool. He made a neder in order to create the iron wall between him and his shadchan and his potential shidduch with this wonderful miscongeniality, right? And who also happened to be beautiful. It's neder tot. So in the Reisha of the Mishnah, it says she was im hi na'ami kara have neder tot. Aval im naset na'a al yedei kishut kigon Hach de Rebbe Yishmoel. But if in fact Hakesh, she's ugly, right? You look at her, she's ugly, right? She's missing a tooth. Her face is dirty. She's got patches of hair that are missing. She smells. She's got raggedy clothing. A hunchback. Pus coming out of one eye.
It's okay. I think we got it.
But Rabbi Yishmoel, like, you know, fixes her up. Havele nolad. Then it should be a case of nolad. And what do we say about nolad? Nolad is not a petach to be matir neder. So how does Rabbi Yishmoel let this guy, who happens to be the fact that this is an uncle and a niece, is that germane to the situation in the Mishnah? No. Either the Mishnah, either Masashaya Kachaya, the Mishnah presents it as an actual case. It could be in the actual case. It was an uncle and a niece. But for the purposes of the halacha that's being established here, that is irrelevant. It didn't have to be.
If it's the case of an uncle and a niece, then the uncle knows what the niece looks like. It's not like you never met her before.
No, correct. But in fact, he was right. She was ugly. Whether it's an uncle or it's somebody else, he knows for a fact that she's ugly. And in fact, before she goes to the beauty spa, Rabbi Yishmoel, she was ugly. Right? So.
It's not nolad. I mean, it clearly says that Rabbi Yishmoel holds that everyone was beautiful in the first place. So it's another tooth. It's just an example.
No, so in other words.
It's not that he's making her beautiful. He's just kind of tricking the guy into realizing that he does want to be actually
beautiful. Look, these are objective categories. These are objective categories. You're either tall or you're short. What is the, you know, like when you go to the Luna Park and there's that guy with the hand that says anybody underneath this line can't go on this ride. So if he says, what does it mean if she's tall or she's short? Like, you know, there's nobody in the middle. There's nobody average. So oze. She's either beautiful. Is she, before she shows up at Rabbi Shmuel's house, is she beautiful or is she ugly?
So according to Rabbi Shmuel, she's beautiful.
So he's saying like a vort. He's giving an explanation. But in fact, before Rabbi Shmuel, she was objectively ugly. So what is Rabbi Shmuel saying? There's no such thing as a neder on the grounds of beauty?
That's what it looks like.
Maybe. But that's not what the Tanakhama thinks. The Tanakhama obviously thinks that there is such a thing as a neder on the grounds of beauty or ugliness.
Okay.
What? The girl, they call you up. I don't know how you met your wife, right? But maybe you went on dates before. So they call you up and say, oh, Losh, I got a girl for you. So you say, what does she look like? He says, what do you mean what she look like? All Jewish girls are beautiful. Rabbi Shmuel Paskin, right? You say, well, she's good enough. It's good enough for Rabbi Shmuel. It's good enough for me. So in that sitna al yedei kishut kigon achter bishmuel havelei nolad ve'ein potchen benolad. So how does Rabbi Shmuel let them off the hook? Vahada kemafik masse afilu heched in that sitna al yedei kishut potchen lo. So the Gemara says. The Gemara, after raising the question that this is a soter. Gemara says, "Enachinami, chasuri mechsura." No. The Mishnah is, you know, chasuri mechsura means. Don't read the Mishnah the way that you read the Mishnah. Read between the lines of the Mishnah. This is the way the Mishnah is supposed to read. Meaning, there's something missing in the Mishnah that doesn't give you the right pshat. This is how the Mishnah should be taught. Rabbi Yishmoel Omer Afilu ki urav v'naset na shchorav v'naset levena ktsarav v'naset arucha. Even if she were ugly. Let's go back to the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Konam she'ani nose et plonit ki ura. I make an edda that I won't marry this ugly girl. Or this dark-skinned girl, or this short girl. The afilu, afilu ki'urav v'naset na'a. Even if she were to have been ugly, and she became beautiful, maseh be'echad shenadar mebedachoto v'echnisua lebeit b'yishmoel v'yifyu avachule. I look at the Rashi. Rabbi Yishmoel Omer afilu ki urav naseit na al yedei kishut eino neder upotchin lo umaseh nami. And there's also a story that proves this. There's even a story that proves this. So this is kind of like what you wanted to say. Right? Even if she were ugly, maybe like the fact that she could be made beautiful is an indication that in fact she wasn't
ugly. That she wasn't ugly in the first place?
That she wasn't ugly, so it's not really a case of no love.
It's a case of because she was expunged from work, she had an outbreak of zits, she had something. So that was temporary.
What is the Mishnah differentiate between the first part where she wasn't, like a toot, and then it brings the next part that she was made? Why even bring the differentiation then?
I'm sorry, say again?
Why even bring the differentiation then? If it doesn't make a difference if she was or wasn't ugly.
Yeah.
Why bring the first part saying she was ugly and then she wasn't? I mean, and it was a mistake, sorry. And the second part that they made her beautiful. No, it brings it two different ways. One that it was a taut, and one that it was afterwards made beautiful. Why bring it if it's either way, it's okay. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, hold on a second. In other words,
like it brings mutala, and then it says, "Lo mitnei shumi ka'ora naseena." But then it's now saying "efilu." It's just like a koshkin. Like why do you bring the first part then?
Yes, so Rabbi Shmuel is against that. Rabbi Shnon is saying that even if she is,
what does it say that Rabbi Shmuel is like the second part? Is that two different opinions? Right? Seems like it's one Tana.
Yeah, afilu ki urav naaseit na'ah d'sfira le depotchin benolad. So that's what the Ran says. The Ran says that in a chidami, that even if it is a case of nolad, Rabbi Shmuel paskins against the majority, that you can be poteach benolad. Look at the last line in the run. Afilu ki urav naaseit na'ah d'sfira le depotchin benolad. Ve'aved nami uvda v'afilu hachi lo kaimalan kevate. Ela ki rabbanan d'lo sharu ela. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel held that you can be poteach benolad. So the case, v'afilu, if she was in fact beautiful, and the person made a neder ta'ut and said, "I don't want to marry her because she's ugly," and he didn't know what he was talking about because he'd never laid eyes on her, so then it's mutter because it was a neder ta'ut. But if taka, the case of Rabbi Shmuel, where she really is ugly, and then later she becomes beautiful. So then, what would the Rabbanan say? There's no peta. Rabbi Shmuel holds potchin benolad, umasa shahaya kachaya. He actually, in fact, did this, but the Rabbanan would not agree.
In the story, it didn't say that he used a petach and did a tzaret nidurim for this person. It just says they got married.
No, it doesn't say they got married. It says he brings the uncle back, and he says, "Omar Mishmuel, bini mizuna darta, Omar lo love vehitiro." I said, I was telling it like a story. I said they made a wedding, but that's not what the Mishnah says. Tana, the top of Samech Vav Amud Beis, Tana, ooh, we're going to finish the perek. That's never happened. No, it must have. It has happened, but it's a very short perek. We've never done this. Tana, shein totevet haitala. So what was, what are the beauty secrets of Rabbi Yishmael? Shein totevet haitala. She had a, was it shein totevet? She had false tooth. Was totevet? What does it mean, totevet? No, so this is the term we use for like people that have rachmanos, people that have prosthetic limbs. They're also called totevet. It's the same idea. It's Aramaic for toshav. But a shein toshevet, what we call a false tooth. Yeah, false teeth is because it sits there. The modern, there were these ads for them, like they show like how the two screws in there. That really is. It's basically you have like a false tooth just sitting there. I think in there he has a picture of show it around of what it looked like. Right, and it looks really uncomfortable. But like when they talk about George Washington's wooden teeth. Which I think is not true. I think George Washington's teeth were made out of ivory.
So it brings here, it says that the wood, but then even the ivory ones used to discolor, so the best was gold.
Right. So, but the point is that it's not that, but dentures were, even if you were George Washington in Lahore, you could afford to go to a good dentist, the best dentures were very, very imprecise. Like today they're molded with lasers and with... other things.
3D
printers. 3D, but no, I had to have not a false tooth, I had to have a crown put on. Uh-huh. So they went, they take these X-ray laser imagery, and then the 3D printer, if it weren't for the fact that I cracked a tooth, it was incredible pain, it would have been really interesting. And Greenspan is there, and he's like molding up this tooth out of nothing, and it fits like it's on the X-ray, and then it puts it in and zaps it on, and it fits perfectly. And but even the best fitting dentures were very imperfect, and they kind of just sat there like those kids' toys that you like the vampire teeth that you put in your like it never fits exactly right. That's what it was like wearing false teeth. You just had these kinds of like choppers, like caught in your thing. So it was very uncomfortable, and it was always clacking and clicking around, and that's why all those pictures of Washington, he always looks like he's a sourpuss, because he just always had this discomfort in his mouth. So this is the tooth that she has. So she had a false tooth. Va'asala Rabbi Yishmael shein shel zahav. She had a shein totevet shenafla sheina v'hoshiva shein acher b'oto makom v'omed b'chi'ur. It was ugly to have a cheap false tooth, either because it was made out of wood or it was made out of some other material, and it would be discolored or it wouldn't fit right or it wouldn't. Right, like a cheap false tooth is a bad thing, and that's why she looked ugly. And Rabbi Yishmael made her a gold tooth, mishelo, meaning with his own money. Like he paid for her denture work. He paid for her nose job. He paid for her denture work. Ki shechiv Rabbi Yishmael patach aleha hahu savdana achi benot Yisrael al Rabbi Yishmael b'chena ha mal bishchen v'chulei au de omer la le de beteu konam she. Period. So what? So this case with the tooth, this case with the tooth. So what? I'm looking at the wrong thing. Yes. So the Mishnah tells the story about the man who made the neder, because the woman was ugly, and Rabbi Yishmael takes her and makes her beautiful. And then he says, doesn't she look beautiful? He says, yes. So then he allows her to get married. So the Chachamim say that this neder would still stand because it's a case of nolad, and he's stuck. So how does Rabbi Shmuel allow them to get married? Since it is a case of nolad. So the Ran says that Rabbi Yishmael, this is the Ran we just saw, the Ran follows Rabbi Elazar's opinion that nolad is grounds for petach. The Rosh says, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that Rabbi Yishmael agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that nolad is grounds for a petach. But Rabbi Yishmael holds that all this kind of metaphysical idea that all Jewish women are beautiful, so that any ugliness that they have is because they're poor, and if they're that's why the Gemara says that's what the Mishnah means. She wasn't ugly because she was ugly. She was ugly because she had bad dentures. Why did she have bad dentures? Because she was poor. So when he made a neder that said I won't marry her because she's ugly, then what did he mean? He meant I won't marry her because she's inherently ugly. That long description that I described of what an ugly girl looks like, but she's not inherently ugly. Horaya, you change the fool's tooth. An external, I mean, that really is Eliza Doolittle, right? You give her a bath and you comb her hair and you put on a nice dress and you teach her to talk real pretty. She's the most beautiful actress in Hollywood. Right? She's not inherently ugly. She doesn't have a, whatever it is. Right? So Horaya, it was a nether toad. To call her ugly is a nether toad. She's not ugly. Right? She just has bad dentures, which is easily, since it's an external mum, it's easily remedied. And once it's remedied, it's proof that she's not ugly. It's proof that it was a nether toad. The Maharsha in the back of our Gemara, the Maharsha points out a problem. The Maharsha says the Gemara in Shabbos and of Samech Omer Aleph says that if you have a gold tooth, you can't go out in the Rishus HaRabim with a gold tooth. What was a gold tooth? The gold tooth was like a nugget of gold shaped like a tooth that sat in that little tray that would be affixed into your jaw, but it could be taken in and out. It could be taken in or out because there probably was no way to permanently fix it, and probably also that way you could clean it. So because it can be taken in or out, and because apparently, you know, like they say, oh, that's a very nice ring. Can I see that? Sure, here it is. So, oh, that's a very nice tooth. Once upon a time in James Bond movies and certain aesthetics of Russian dentistry, gold teeth. But today it's not like no American dentist gives you the gold tooth.
Yeah, I used to say when the initial Russian Jewish immigration in the 70s, the older ones all had gold teeth.
Yeah. So the Maharsha says, since the Gemara says that you can't go out with a gold tooth, but you can go out with a silver tooth. Because a silver tooth was an indication that you were not as rich and you were not as quick to take it out to show everyone. As weird as this all seems. Rashi there in the Gemara and Shabbos gives two reasons for this. One is that a woman who goes out with a gold tooth would remove it and carry it in order to show it off, and then come to be over on Havra B'Rishus HaRabim. But then Rashi also says that Adarabba, a silver tooth more closely matches the other teeth. It's like if you see someone smiling from a distance, you don't automatically notice the silver tooth. But a gold tooth is unmistakable. So Pumfakert, it's not that she takes it out because she's showing off her gold tooth. She takes it out because she's embarrassed. Even though gold is a more precious metal than silver, in this case, it's more embarrassing because it's more obvious that it's a false tooth. So she might take it out in a Rishus HaRabim because she doesn't want to be seen with it, and then she'll put it in later when she has to be eating or something like that. You know, like people, you know, like people with glasses, you know, like, you know, like if somebody's embarrassed of wearing glasses, so they'll be constantly taking them off and on. They don't want to be seen. If there's like photographs, they take it off because they don't want to be photographed if they're vain about being seen wearing glasses, which I think is also kind of old-fashioned notion.
Well, it's better to have a cap in your mouth than don't go to.
No, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Sometimes it's a little hard to understand the reality.
So the Maharsha says, if that's case, according to the second opinion of Rashi, why does Rabbi Yishmael make her a gold tooth? It would have been preferable. If he wants to make her beautiful, according to Rashi, forget the value of gold versus the value of silver, but if the point is to make her beautiful, it's better to make her a...
It still could be better than what she had, though.
Beseder, but once he's spending the money, and as in this case, less is more.
It gives her value.
No, but less is more. We're not talking about monetary... There's no claim here. He's not saying, I don't want to marry her because she's poor. Right? That's not, of all the nasty things this guy says about her, that's not one thing he said. She's ugly. So here, it really is a case of less is more. That the less ungepatch tooth looks nicer because it blends in more with the natural look than a gold tooth. So why did Rabbi Shmuel make her a gold tooth? If his point was to make her more beautiful, he should have made her a silver tooth. So Rav Yaakov Emdin gives two answers to this question. So one is that he doesn't mean that it was an actual gold tooth, but he means that he made her a tooth that was as worth much as gold. Okay, I mean that's problematic because the Gemara says, "Vasal Rabbi Yishmael shen shel zahav," which sounds like it was a gold tooth, but maybe it means he made her, you know, like with the you know. How would you say in English? I don't know. Worth all the gold in the world, right? The gold standard, right? You know, the highest, the best of the best.
Then it should say platinum.
Huh? Or maybe he meant that he had to pay for it with gold, meaning the tooth taka was made out of silver. But he had to pay a lot of money to the dentist, and that he had to pay with gold, right? So maybe that's what it means. Okay, do we have time? No, we don't. We have time.
Itself is like not really a question, though. That he would rather put a silver tooth in because it saves him money.
No, not because it saves money, because it makes him more beautiful. Sometimes less is more, right? Sometimes less is more, right?
And the standard of the day was that the gold tooth.
Maybe was the gold was actually looked better, but now she's pretty
anyway. No, so according to the second, again, this is according to the second explanation of Rashi. Think about it. It's true that gold is worth money, but our aesthetic sense today is these people with the gold teeth. It's not so nice. If you had lost a tooth and you needed a replacement, you wouldn't get a gold tooth. So, okay, and it will continue. The Gemara continues with this case of. Also, a case of a neder and shalom bayis and other things, and soon we'll finish the perek. We'll have to make a party.